kids, it's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Cole, how are you doing?
I am better than I have been, but I'm still garbage.
Yeah, I'm better than I've been. Obviously, my voice sounds significantly better than it has in recent shows, but I'm still a smidge under the weather.
Yeah, you definitely sound almost back to normal. I want to be normal.
You're far from normal.
Rip.
I think we're all pretty far from normal. I'm looking. Butter is completely enraptured with the TV right now. I have football on the side, and Butter is just sitting there staring up at the screen. It is adorable. It is very adorable. So how's your week going? How is things going?
Things are pretty good. Today was number 3's birthday, and we did all the birthday stuff.
Happy birthday to her. Happy birthday to her.
Yeah, he's been in bed for an hour.
Oh, well, fine. I take it back.
In her world, birthday's over. But yeah, it was a good time had by all. We have a rule on birthdays that you can't say no.
Oh,
it doesn't matter what it was, as long as it's within reason, something that's perfectly capable for us to follow through on. We can't say no. You want to go somewhere? Let's go. You want to do something? We'll do it. As long as it's viable to do, we can't say no.
So what'd you have to do?
We played Jackbox and
what a horrible day for you playing Jackbox.
Well, she had to go to school today too, so she only had a couple hours this evening to actually enjoy it. We took her, we took cupcakes to the school. She had Pokemon cupcakes. And she's very into Pokemon right now. And what was funny.
I bet she'll be excited next week.
Oh, yes. I'll talk about that after they get it so that I don't snitch on myself because I know everyone can still hear me.
She doesn't listen to the show, does she?
No, but she's
in her room. Thank God, no one should.
But what was funny was number 3 had told me she wanted Pokemon for her birthday, but she didn't want a plushie, which is what I was originally going to get her because I thought that's what she wanted. She was like, no, I don't want a stuffed Pikachu. I was like, oh, excuse me, please tell me how to spend my money. she said, I want little Pokemon that I can play with in my dollhouse. And I was like, that's a challenge. Except it turned out to not be that much of a challenge. And I got on Amazon and I found like these packs that had 144 1-inch Pokemon.
Damn.
Just all kinds of different Gen 1, Gen 2 Pokemon. 144 of them. They were $30. I had coupons and gift cards and they were on sale. And I managed to get them for $5.
Nice.
The best part was that I got all the same type of box. And in one box, I put a dress. Because she always gets new dresses for her birthday. So in one box, I put a dress. In the second box, I put a dress. And in the third box, had the Pokemon. And so she's sitting there, she's opening it. She opens the first box. She's, oh, it's a dress. It's lovely. I love it. Thank you. Opens the second box. She goes, oh, it's another dress. I love you. Thank you. And then I hand her the third box and she goes, you can't fool me. This is another dress. It's the same size. And I was like,
you just open the goddamn present.
She tears it open and she's like, oh my God, it's Pokemon. And she's like losing her shit over all of those little Pokemon. And then she tells me she wanted all kinds of different little Pokemon to play with in her dollhouse. She proceeds to go through all 144 Pokemon until she finds all the Pikachus.
How many were there?
Six.
Six Pikachu. Were they like different poses?
Yeah, they were all different poses.
was going to say, and if you got six of the same one, that'd be kind of
No,
shitty.
That would have sucked. That would have been mad. But I already knew it. Like, I'd read the reviews and everything. I knew they were different ones, different poses and stuff. But she went through, got all the Pikachus. So then it was time for dinner. And the rule is you get to choose what's for dinner on your birthday. It's your birthday dinner. She wanted tacos. So we had taco bar set up. And we made her taco. She was sitting at the table. And she took all the Pikachus and put them around her plate. So that they would watch her eat her taco. And nice. Then she got the cake and the ice cream. And she couldn't decide what ice cream she wanted. So she wanted all four flavors.
Oh, geez. What flavors?
Unicorn Sparkle.
What the fuck?
It's a cake-flavored ice cream. Ooh. That has purple frosting going through it, and unicorn sprinkles. So that she sounds had that
very
one.
Unhealthy.
It's very much so. It's birthday. Can't say no. So she had that one. And then she had said she wanted strawberry ice cream. But the problem is she's the only person in the house that likes strawberries. So we convinced her to get Neapolitan ice cream so that there was some other flavor for the people in the house that don't like strawberries. So she took her plate. She had chocolate cake. And she had the four different kinds of ice cream. And then she took a big thing of Christmas sprinkles and dumped over all of it.
Oh, geez.
And then she ate every last bite while the Pikachus watched.
So she had an audience.
I'm just like, I don't know whether to love this kid or be scared of her.
Why not both? Little column A, little column B.
That's the best way to approach it. But the funny thing was, she was like, she just went to bed. She pulled her blanket up to her neck and she went, "This was the most awesome birthday ever." And I'm like, we didn't even leave the house. You just had Pikachus watching you do everything.
How many Psyducks were in there?
I don't know. I didn't even... I was like, here, I enjoy your Pokemon.
Psyduck is my boy. I have two plush Psyducks. I have three tiny little figurine Psyducks. I just love Psyduck. He's the stupidest Pokemon there is. So, of course, I gravitate towards stupid.
They were taking the kinetic, because she got a kinetic sand too, because I hate myself. And what was funny was number one was like, "You would have never bought this for me." I was like, "Yeah, because you were a messy kid. Your sister has some manners." And number three is a clean freak. I know this shit's safe. So she had the kinetic sand as she was building up sand castles and then taking the little Pokemon and surrounding them with it, and then having the bad ones come along and smash them. <Yes. laughs> I was like, yeah, that's my kid.
Your kid's awesome. I can't wait until next week's show, which is going to be the season finale. Ooh. Yeah.
Well, we sound so professional when we say it like that.
even though technically our seasons begin in February, because that's when, our anniversary is. Mm-hmm. But it'll be the last episode before our break, right after Christmas. And I can't wait to hear how Christmas goes down there.
She is going to lose her mind. She really is.
I figure all your kids are going to lose their shit.
Yeah, most likely.
I know if That's I... I know just getting a Super Nintendo as a kid, I lost my shit. So getting a Switch these days, that'd be badass.
Yeah.
Although I already have one, so.
Yeah. And then number one was telling me earlier. I think she was trying to calm me out of my Christmas gift. But she was like, "Oh, on my Chromebook, the power button isn't working, and if I turn it off, then it's really hard to get it turned back on." And I'm like, this kid don't even know. She's sitting here complaining about her laptop, and Christmas is just a few days away.
Ooh, No Time says he bought a Sega Mini at Best Buy tonight. That is awesome. Was it on sale? That thing was worth it at full price. The Sega Genesis Mini is badass. I love that thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of games on it. There's 42 games on the thing.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Yes, indeed. Anyway, carry on. Games.
Games, news, are we diving right into this? It's not going to be a long episode. There wasn't much news this week. So, there were some Game Pass additions this week. We got, on the 17th, we got Untitled Goose Game, which is awesome.
Hey, I can't wait to play that. I got to pull my mic a little closer, don't I? There we go.
You're good.
Good. Good.
And then, December 19th, we got Life is Strange 2, Episode 5.
Nice.
The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt.
Fine.
Which we knew was coming.
Yeah.
And Pillars of Eternity.
Unexpected.
Unexpected, but good. And apparently someone said The Long Dark might be on Game Pass now, like a surprise edition.
I bought it. I've never had the time to play it.
I think it's The Long Dark.
There
I was browsing Reddit in the bathroom before the show.
Oh, my God.
So. Oh, you don't do that. Don't give me that shit.
I don't Reddit. I have standards. Free Twitter. That's what Twitter was made for.
I'm sitting here. Oh, yeah. It looks like The Long Dark quietly joined Game Pass. Someone got a screenshot of it saying Game Pass. So it looks like that might be another surprise edition. But it's a good week for Game Pass.
Yeah, it really is.
Especially Untitled Goose Game launching direct to Game Pass. That is always good.
That surprised me. It really did. Like when they announced it, I had a feeling it would come to Xbox. I just didn't know when, but I did not see. I don't know why. At this point, I should just assume that if it's coming out on Xbox, it's going to Game Pass. That's what I need.
Not everything releases on Game Pass, but.
Like 82%.
Close.
And it's gradually increasing.
Awesome Prime dropping in saying, how shitty is this podcast? Very.
So shitty that you can slow it down by donating bits.
Yes.
Break that shit.
My computer's running slow enough tonight. Let's not break my computer completely.
I mean, it would be amusing.
But he did use the redeem highlight my message feature, which, you know, those channel points on Twitch, those are now site-wide.
Yes.
We didn't name them channel points. For us, they are called, what else? Wet pancakes. Wet pancakes. George, let me pull up the...
Wet pancakes!
Wet pancakes, indeed. Yeah, it's not all good news for Game Pass. Two games are going to be leaving the service. First up is Tecmo Bowl Throwback, which, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
And the other one, this one's kind of surprising because it's a Double Fine game, but Headlander is leaving.
I saw that. I wondered if it had anything to do with the fact that it's an Adult Swim game, though.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next.
See, there's not a lot of new. I told
there's
you.
There's not. I mean, what else are you supposed to say? It's an Adult Swim game. It's leaving Game Pass. Okay, next. Yeah,
Headlander's awesome, though. If you haven't played Headlander, fire it up before it leaves. Give it a go. I really enjoyed Headlander.
It's very surreal and weird and amusing.
And, definitely. And amusing is good.
Your
fucking head that flies around attaching to other bodies. What's not to love?
Every time I try to explain it to somebody, because they've seen, like, oh, it's on Game Pass or whatever, and I'm, like, trying to explain what it is, and then the more you try to explain it, the fucking weirder it sounds, and then the person's just standing there listening to you ramble on about how weird it is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Crazy.
It's not all Game Pass, though. PlayStation Now is getting some new additions for January. First up, they're getting Overcooked 2, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then they're getting two more of the their headliner games that are only going to be there for a few months. I don't know why they do this, especially because they're first party games. It's like, oh, you could play it, but only until April 7th. Big, so weird. You have 3 months. But they're adding Uncharted, The Lost Legacy, and Horizon Zero Dawn. Two awesome games. So if you want to try out their PlayStation Now for 3 months, you could play Horizon and Uncharted and get your money's worth.
But that's only on PlayStation. You can't play those on PC.
I believe you can, streaming.
Horizon Zero Dawn is the only game I've ever felt like I wanted to play on PlayStation.
Well, sign up for a trial in January when they get added. I'm sure you could get a month trial or something.
Yeah, probably.
And see if it works on PC, and if it does, deal with the lag, because it's streaming.
Does it lag bad?
I'm sure it does. When I tried it back when it was still in testing, I could not play it.
Ugh.
Yeah,
but I mean, they charge you for it, so clearly it's got to be slightly better now, right?
You would hope so.
Although, look at Stadia.
Yeah.
There is proof. I can't be wrong.
Has there been any Stadia news?
Yeah, but I don't know what it was. I didn't care. I was like, oh, Stadia. There was something recently, though. Yeah.
Very helpful.
I know it launched with some... It was terrible.
Yeah. Speaking of terrible, PlayStation is releasing a back button attachment in late January, which is good in theory because it adds two triggers to the back of any PlayStation controller. It just plugs into the bottom and you have two additional triggers on the back that you could set to be any other button on the controller, which is awesome. The weird thing is it has a giant LED screen on it that faces away from you that shows what buttons they are, which seems like the most unnecessary addition you could possibly have.
That OLED on the back is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. Oh, let's put a screen on the back of the controller where ain't nobody can fucking see it.
Dark Mika, it looks like balls for a controller. It does.
It does too, yeah.
It gives your controller a nutsack.
Like, oh, you'd basically have to put a mirror behind your hands while you're playing so that you could see what's on that goddamn screen.
And of course, the light bar on the controller is not enough. You have to have more shit on there lighting up the room.
Mm-hmm.
Dark Mika, you have to fondle the controller's balls.
Damn.
Just give him a nudge.
Give him a tickle. I think that this was an instance of people in a boardroom going, Xbox controllers have these nifty little paddles. How do we get those without looking like we ripped it off?
Balls.
And that's what they came up with.
Yeah. On the bright side, it's only going to be $30, so that's not that bad. Again, in theory, it seems like it could be a cool device. I don't know why they needed to have a fucking screen on the thing. They could have lowered costs, made it more affordable, made it look less stupid if they would have just skipped out on that screen.
Yeah.
Unnecessary screen.
It feels like it was just a way to go, hey, look, we could put a tiny OLED in this.
And Dark Mika has a point. It's going to make the controller battery drain even quicker. And it's not like the DualShock 4 has great battery life.
We all know that charging your batteries is what everybody wants to do the most.
Yeah. So, yeah. PlayStation back button attachment, $30, end of January. Give your controller balls and diddle the handles.
Don't. I guess there was Stadia news.
Oh, do tell, because I ain't got shit else to talk about.
Already?
I told you there's not a lot of news this week.
God damn, but I thought we'd at least make it past 16 minutes.
You thought wrong, bitch.
Google bought Typhoon Studios to beef up Stadia's game library, according to Engadget.
Typhoon Studios. Who are Typhoon Studios?
Apparently, it's an indie studio with veterans that made Batman Arkham City and Far Cry 4.
Okay.
And they are currently working on Journey to the Savage Planet.
Oh, them.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's going to affect the game showing up on other platforms. I would hope not.
According to Engadget, Journey is still on track to reach multiple platforms on January 28th. So, yeah, that was, like, I was kind of like, who? Until I read the Journey to the Savage Planet part, because I do remember seeing that. I feel like I saw that on Xbox's E3, wasn't it?
Maybe. I'm not a fan of the game's name at all. Like, ever since I've talked with Chris and his girlfriend, who's Native American, they've pointed out that Savage is a slur against Native Americans, and that word just doesn't sit well with me anymore.
So yeah.
That's why I've kind of like, I phased it out of my my vocabulary, even though I never really said it to begin with. Like, they brought it up to me. I'm like, well, I don't think I even say the word anyway.
Yeah.
That word just doesn't sit well with me anymore. So when I hear it on TV, I always kind of cringe. It's like, yeah, that's a real savage over there. I'm like, Chris wouldn't like that.
Yeah. Let's see. Google Stadia updates adds support for all Chromecast Ultras, not just the one with the Founders Edition, so more people who don't give a fuck can play it now.
Good way to put it.
Google Stadia Founders. I have kittens attacking
each other behind me.
Stadia Founders can now give away another 3-month free trial to a friend. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know anyone who has a Stadia to begin with. So
I feel like if somebody said, hey, do you want 3 months of Stadia? I'd be like, no, I'm good.
I would give it a try. I would see how it plays on my computer, see if it does anything all right.
I think your shit computer would be a good means for testing it.
Yeah, because you don't have to run anything on the computer. It's all streaming. Because
they make such a big deal about how it's, easy to play no matter what you're playing on.
Yeah.
So,
Doc Havoc, if someone asked me if I wanted 3 months of Stadia, I'd reply, that's still a thing. Shockingly, yes, it's been 2 months and it's still going.
I was about to say, it's only been like a month and a half or so. It's fine.
Happy 2 month anniversary, Google. You made it.
They're still in the honeymoon phase.
Let's aim for 4 now.
I mean, granted, like their honeymoon phase started with the bride catching the groom with his dick in a fondue pot, but it's fine. Everything's fine.
You have a way with words sometimes.
Yeah, I know. Don't put your dick in fondue pots, okay? This is my friendly advice. Anyway, other shit.
Moobot's breaking on us. It's not showing my emotes properly.
I see them.
They're showing up on stream, but they're just showing up as words for me on my text chat.
Weird.
Doc Havoc, don't fondue shame.
I will fondue shame you. That's unsanitary. That'll give you a yeast infection. Don't do that.
Oh, God. So is there anything else you want to discuss, or are we seriously just diving into reviews already?
I feel like we may just be diving into reviews already.
All right, first game to talk about tonight. We are bringing in our good friend George Norg Novik. George, how are you doing?
Fabulous. How are you?
Wow.
This show is so off the rails.
Pretty much.
Cole, I blame you.
Pork rinds. I'm doing took great.
The rails and like flung them over the hill and with like
just wait until we get to the other reviews.
Oh boy, are any of the other reviews going to involve urine coming out of boots? Because if so, I'm sticking around for that.
Not boots, no.
Okay, then I'm out of
here. There is urine.
Yes.
Maybe we didn't record that yet, did we?
I mean, we don't do this shit in order. I don't know who we're fooling. We don't do anything.
Don't let them behind the curtain.
Continuity.
Keep the illusion real.
I then took the curtain and like blew my nose on it. Did you now?
Oh my God, George, you are a trip.
That's what I've been told.
Good Crunchcast.
Stuff. Crunchcast. Bringing it back.
Cave culture.
Oh God. Anyway, the first game that we're here to talk about tonight is called MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries, developed and published by Piranha Games, released December 10th on Epic Games Store for $49.99. The year is 3015. Humanity has colonized thousands of systems across the vast region of space, splintered by centuries of conflict. The battlefields of the future are dominated by MechWarriors, elite pilots of hulking machines of war known as battle mechs. It is a lucrative time to be a mercenary. George, tell us a bit about MechWarrior 5.
Well, the game is pretty dark, as implied by the whole mercenaries thing. The fact that you are a mercenary and you are involved in mercenary things probably means that you're basically a land pirate, and the life of the land pirate is uncomfortable, frequently expensive, and generally kind of a pisser. But you got to make a living somehow. So, yeah, we're.
It always comes back to urine. I was hoping for a dry martini this afternoon, but I only could get all I could get was this Coke Zero and some urine. Oh my goodness!
Oh, they're never gonna let me review games again. So, let's see. The game starts out pretty dark, and like they kill your father right out of the gate, which is just setting the stage for just awful things that happen going forward. Now, as if you've had the misfortune of hearing one of my reviews, you know that I tend to rate games based on the good, the bad, and the ugly. well, we're going to start with the good this time. There's not a lot of it, I'm afraid, but let me quantify that. This game is going to be excruciatingly polarizing, all right? Among and outside of the Mech Warrior BattleTech fandom, people are either going to love this game or they're going to loathe it. There's no in between on this one. There isn't going to be a lot of meh. It's you're either going to love this game or you're going to hate it. So let me start out with the good. First of all, it's a new Mech Warrior game, which is fantastic. There are huge mechs, which is fun. The control scheme seems complicated at first, but if you have any experience with any other Mech Warrior games from the past, that makes it a lot easier to wrap your head around all of the various controls. I've played a lot of Mech Warrior over the years, up to and including like Mech Warrior 2 on school computers when I was in high school. So the franchise goes way back. I've done tabletop like mech games, and so that part was fun. The mechs have guns, and it's extremely satisfying to run around and shoot things with them or crash. The fun part was crashing into buildings or knocking buildings down or shooting buildings, and they all have individual components that collapse. That was just an absolute blast. I was totally digging on that.
I love destruction physics.
Oh, man, the destruction was extremely satisfying. Once you get a little bit further into the game and you start hunting for missions and you're going from zone to zone between the clans, that's fun because the scope of how far you can travel in this game looking for missions is immense and completely appropriate for the world of Mech Warrior. And I was digging that. It was great jumping from system to system and passing time while my mechs are trying to repair themselves, and because I've destroyed too many weapons because the AI that controls my co-pilots was made out of ass, but we'll get into that in a minute. but the scope of everything was huge. There was a story, which was nice. There was an actual plot that you're trying to follow and some side plots, which were a lot of fun. Like you get to make choices of whether or not you're going to go for a more profitable thing and screw somebody in the process, or actually defend those people, not get as much money, but perhaps build up a better reputation. There are consequences to virtually every mission that you take. If you take a mission for a clan, you will probably piss off another clan in the process. And in doing so, will make it more difficult for you to travel in their lands and get missions and money when it's necessary to be in those lands. I had a lot of fun just jacking myself up for one clan and pissing everybody off. The benefit of doing that was whenever I did missions for that particular clan, I got tons of extra bonuses. Extra bonuses up to and including enough scrap share that I could just pick up mechs off the field and repair them and either keep them or sell them. So that was cool stuff. Doing missions on any other territory was complicated because they didn't trust me anymore for some weird reason. So yeah, So all of those components of the typical Mech Warrior experience were there. You can get rich. You will probably piss somebody off, and it will bite you in the ass later. So it's a Mech Warrior game. No question about it. Now let's move on to the bad.
All right.
When you are in the main ship where you're doing repairs or going to the bridge to talk to people, it's this weird, kind of janky first person view thing where you have to spend time traveling from point A to point B, when in actuality, unless you have to talk to somebody specific to advance the plot, you can do virtually everything from any terminal anywhere in the ship. So it's almost pointless, which makes the need to travel from person to person also almost pointless. So there's that. The music was not very memorable. And I, as a musician, tend to tune in on what's happening in the music, and the music was not that memorable. I was really disappointed. The voice acting fared somewhere between barely tolerable and sometimes okay. That's about as good as I can give it. I will say that the voice acting was worlds better than that Sierra knockoff that I reviewed a while ago, where you had a main character that sounded professionally recorded and then his best friend who sounded like it was done in somebody's bathroom. So it was better than that, but the actual acting was a mixed bag, to put it mildly. And I know that a lot of the voice actors were found on like pay-to-play sites like voices.com. And I would expect that, given that they were actually paying people for a lot of these roles, that the selection of actors should have been better. It clearly wasn't in some cases, so I don't have any explanation for that. The graphics at times looked okay, and sometimes they looked extremely dated. Like, I would have, considering you need a practically bleeding edge machine to make the game run and make it look good, I expected something a little bit more than 10 years ago in terms of the graphics. That was a little disappointing. The missions themselves, like the side missions, you've got the Protect, the Assault, the Raid, some multi-pronged missions, they got real boring, real fast, and extremely repetitive, in spite of the fact that I believe a lot of those missions were procedurally generated, which was good in a sense that it should have avoided some of the repetitiveness, but there were a lot of components that made them really irritating, and I'm going to get back to that in the ugly. A lot of the landscapes for those missions from afar looked like the kind of thing that you would expect from a Windows 95 tile screensaver zoomed out. They didn't look good. When you were up close to some of them, it was almost forgivable. But if you looked off into the horizon of whatever land you happened to be on, the tiling just looked awful and repetitive. And again, I expect better.
Yeah, it especially given the specs, like you said.
Right. It is procedurally generated, if I'm correct about that. And I appreciate that there are certain sacrifices that have to be made in order to try to do something that will make it less repetitive. Except it was still repetitive and it didn't look that great. So now we get to the ugly. And I feel really bad because I'm a huge fan of the MechWarrior series of games and that style of gameplay. And let's just get into it. The AI, are you fucking kidding me? The AI was abysmal. You're only allowed to have three extra people working with you on a mission, unless that changes way further in the plot. And obviously, I didn't have a month or two to really get 80 hours into the game. But you have yourself, and then you can have a maximum of three other people. They did okay in predicting where you were going, especially if you were driving a slower mech and they were faster. They did a decent job of trying to stay with you and predicting where it was that you were intending to go. Where it got a little squirrely was the fact that if you're on a mission to, say, protect a cluster of buildings, they'd walk into the fucking buildings. And when you walk into the fucking buildings, you lose percentage of protected building up until the point where half of the damage done to the buildings that you're trying to protect are done by your own people, which is ludicrous. Protection missions, in fact, I just stopped playing protection missions, partly because I could guarantee that I was going to do more damage myself with my team than the enemy was, and that the rest of the half of that damage was going to be accomplished in the space of about 7 seconds, because they'd come in guns blazing, and before I can even attempt to intercept them, they're done. And the captain of your ship is saying, your client is going to be very disappointed in your inability to protect these buildings. Like, really? You don't say. So So I just stopped doing protection missions because it was frustrating and it pissed me off. The load times in the game. It's been a while since I've been able to give out the Commodore 64 Epic's Fast Load Cartridge Award, but this game absolutely earns it. It's a fucking bleeding edge PC that I'm using, and I'm sitting there waiting for shit to load. Not only between jumping from system to system, but when I get to a mission and I accept it and I accept all the terms, next thing I know, I'm sitting there waiting while it's loading the environment, which I assume has something to do with the fact that they're loading the procedurally generated stuff in the background. But I'm sitting and sitting, and I'm not a fan of load bars on brand new systems.
Yeah.
Speaking of, I ended up having to try and it didn't work, but I tried reducing some of the graphic specs because there were like glitches, like jumps in the graphics, which didn't render the game unplayable, but it was really irritating. It was like the screen had worse Tourette's than I do. And I'm standing here jerking my head, but the microphone hides that and you can't hear that I'm doing that. But it was like watching my screen tick, where it would jerk, 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 jerk every time something moved. I'm like, fuck you. I have a diagnosed disease. You're a bleeding edge laptop. You shouldn't be doing this. And
the funny thing is, load times and jerking will both come into play later on in this episode.
Amazing.
No.
Sorry for derailing you.
I'm mentally making associations between load times, jerking.
Oh wait, let me play the wet pancake sound effect.
Oh yes, please wet hit it.
Pancakes.
There, I played it. Now do it live.
Oh, dropping fucking urine. Oh. Ah! Wet pancakes. Oh.
No, bad Nord, no.
Are we going to have to censor this out later? Because I think I might have crossed a couple of lines.
Oh, we did not cross any lines. That is much later in the show.
Oh, the poor I hope the developers of this game never actually hear this review, because now I feel bad. But I'm not done. Okay, so... We've gone over. I'm never going to think of the fast load cartridge the same way again.
We broke Norg. Holy shit, we broke Norg.
I didn't know it was possible, but there we are.
Okay, so running missions when enemies, including mechs and tanks and helicopters, spawn literally right next to you and punch you in the dick is irritating. And I actually mean literally, because you can get shot in the midsection on these mechs and be disabled. Well, when they spawn right next to you, because apparently radar is useless in the future, kiss my ass. That sucked. The ugly section is stuff that made me angry when I was trying to play this game, in case anybody hasn't figured that out. So, speaking of getting punched in the dick, the game touts how you can disable a mech, and they train you to do this. You can disable another mech by either a successful headshot that destroys the cockpit, or several headshots because they have armor, or if you manage to bust up one of the enemy's legs, which is great. That's a staple of Mech Warrior games throughout the generations. If you take off a mech's leg, it can't move. And then it's a sitting duck while you stand from afar and rain hell on them for getting in your way. Great. That's cool. 10 seconds after the mech starts hobbling around because you destroyed its leg, it just kind of picks up like nothing was wrong, turns around and punches you in the dick again. So that is broken, along with pretty much everything else in the ugly section.
Ouch.
This came up in another game that I was reviewing for you that was also on Steam, and the consensus that I came to, and I later on looked it up, and I found that my point of view, I tend to not read other reviews because I don't want to
taint my opinion of something before I put it on paper, was the game wasn't, in the sense of the other game that we're referring to, it wasn't finished. It was released because it needed to be released. It was not released because it was a finished product and ready to go out to the market. So what you end up with is a game that gets released to be on time, is not ready for the market, and then it becomes an expensive public beta test. This is an expensive public alpha test, as far as I'm concerned. It's wow. Functional. Many of the components are there, but so many of the things that could make this game great are broken, borked, motherfucked, or just plain not there. And this is going to be another one where I'd love to come back to this in 6 months and see if they actually finished it. Because in the case of that other game that I had done for you quite a while ago, I did come back to it in 6 months. And then I came back to it again in 9 months because they had released a major, major patch that made the game awesome. And I can see very easily that with the framework that has been developed for MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries, the framework is there. This is going to be an amazing game as soon as they finish it.
Yeah. Well, what would you do to improve it?
Pork rinds.
Pork rinds. Gotcha. So $50 on MechWarrior 5. What is your verdict?
Fuck it. I haven't said that in a long time about a game. I usually lean on try it. What are the three? Buy it, try it, or fuck it?
Buy it, try it, deny it. And then we have fuck it, why not?
Oh, pardon me. Yeah. Deny it. Total denial. I cannot, in good conscience, recommend somebody purchase this game yet, just because I know it's going to be polarizing. In fact, if I go and look it up after we're done with this, I'm probably going to find that the reviews are really mixed and in total extremes, like politics. So this is, it's not finished. It is not a finished game. I can't recommend the cost of admission until they've had probably another 6 months in the oven and then release it in a condition that is much better. I really, really want to love this game. You have no idea. My obsession with MechWarrior goes back well over 20 years, and I really wanted to like this game, and I put in a bunch of hours, and I just couldn't. And I want to, and I'm going to come back because I love MechWarrior, but this is not ready. They're so not ready for this release.
Now, that's a bummer to hear, but if they update it, if they patch it, if they bring more content to it, do some fixes, we're more than happy to take another look at the game down the road.
I would love to, and I hope you'll keep me in mind to do so. Keep me posted on any of the updates that they do, because the potential is there, and we've seen it happen, and it's kind of the new norm, where they release public alphas and public betas and charge money for it. And I'll use another example, a legendary example now, No Man's Sky, which I say it with a grain of salt, because I loved No Man's Sky when it first came out, like to death. I played it for a month and a half straight, like several hours every day. It was my obsession, and everyone around me was freaking out about how awful it was because, well, a lot of the things that were promised weren't there yet. Most of those things are there now. I came back to it a few months ago after I think it was the next release, and I was astounded at what had changed from when I first played it. I had to start over because I wanted the full experience from the very beginning, and I'm glad I did. And I haven't had a chance to load it up since the newest update came out, which has even more awesome stuff. So it's proof positive that a game can release in an unfinished state and become amazing. But as it stands, where we are right now, we're nowhere near that. And it needs some fixes.
Oh, well, they can't all be winners. But George, always a pleasure having you on, chatting about the game. Cole, do you have any questions before we let him go?
No, I'm good.
All hey, right. Cole. Have I mentioned recently how much I love your voice?
I love your voice, too.
Aw, you're so sweet.
Your voice is like the bassy yin to my squeaky yang.
Wow. It's a good thing we're both married, because this is going to get real awkward real quick.
Oh, no. The awkward stuff comes later.
Yeah. This is nothing.
Ha-ha! I cannot wait to hear it.
George, you got any final words?
Crunch core.
Oh, God, I love Norg. He's insane.
Norg is great.
He is great. Good stuff.
Yes.
Anyway, next game to talk about is called Black Sad Under the Skin. Dark Meek is going to kill you for covering this one. developed by Pendulo Studios and YS Interactive, published by Microids, as Carnage drops 5 biddies. I can't even make it through this introduction.
Drop it, bitch!
One fell out.
They're going to be listening to this like, what the hell kind of show did we give this code to? released December 10th on Xbox One, Switch, and PS4 for $39.99. The 50s, New York City. Joe Dunn, owner of a boxing club, is found dead. Meanwhile, rising star Bobby Yale, due to take the ring for the most important fight of his career, has mysteriously disappeared. Sonya Dunn, Joe's daughter, takes over the gym and must deal with its financial woes. She hires private detective John Blacksad to investigate Yale's disappearance. The highly anticipated boxing match of the year is drawing closer, and the club's finances would not survive a no-show from Bobby Yale. During its investigation, John Blacksad will find himself swimming with sharks in a universe where corruption is everywhere. Cole, tell us about Blacksad Under the Skin.
What the fuck is left for me to talk about? That was like 82% of the plot right there. Okay. Well,
you got to fill in the holes.
Well, to like 3%, because anything else is going to get in spoiler territory.
Okay, then tell us about the mechanics of the game.
So, mechanic wise, Black Sad is an interactive drama. Telltale. It's a Telltale game, just developed by somebody that's not Telltale. Reminded me a lot of The Wolf Among Us in the way that it told the story. It's a little bit of a furry's fever dream. That because literally every character is an anthropomorphic animal. You play as John Blacksad, who is a private detective, and he is a black anthropomorphic cat. It's going to get insane at this point. God damn it.
Why? What's happening?
This is the part where it starts to get a little weird. So the game is, as I said, I refer to it as a furry fever dream. But I'm not talking shit. I haven't said anything bad. calm down, Lucky. Calm down.
Like, I don't know if I want to read that comment.
the game is surprisingly very sexualized. That's where the furry's fever dream part comes in. Right away, your first case, you find out that Black Sad has been hired as a PI to catch a dude that's a cheating bastard. So you've hired your buddy to take some uncensored evidence to prove that the rhino is a cheating bastard. And then it boils down to the rhino comes to your office, beats the ever loving shit out of you. Like, half the achievements in this game are for getting Black Sad's ass kicked. It's a little weird, but I think it falls back on that classic noir trope. And so it's kind of amusing at the same time. Like, every time it happens, it's like, for real? I got an achievement for getting my ass kicked again. But the rhino kicks your ass. You get an achievement for it. And then you get to the bread and butter of the game. You got to make a decision. Mr. Rhino says, "You don't tell my wifey that I was rhino balls deep in a fox." Butt cheeks and all, then I'll give you 10 grand. What are you going to do? Are you going to take the bribe, or are you going to finish off the job and tell on Mr. Rhino? Or are you going to call his wifey and tell her, "Hey, I've got pics of your husband's rhinoceros butt cheeks."
My lord.
I told you, it flies into weird territory very fucking fast. And
I took the bribe, so I didn't see any of the evidence.
Didn't?
No.
You see it later.
I'm a terrible person. I took the money.
Yeah. I took the bribe once too, but you do see it later, even if you take the bribe. No spoilers though. But there is an opportunity where it comes up.
Just the game starts off quick. It does not dick around. It gets right to it.
I was super tickled that it comes up and it's like, this game uses the same setting as every other one in its genre. Do you really need a tutorial? And you can click yes or no. And I was like, nah, if that's the case, I'm good, bro. I got this. I know how to press, you know, A, B, and X.
Yeah.
There are some extra interesting elements. Sometimes you can be in situations where you can use Blacksat's cat sense. It adds a little something extra to the investigation, but it's not fine tuned enough to not be frustrating. And I could kind of say that about the controls for the whole game in general, because there are these little collectible, trophy cards like all over the goddamn place, and 9 times out of 10 you can see one, but you just can't get Blacksat in just the right position so that it'll let you pick it up.
Yeah, the movement controls are a little on the clunky side.
Yeah, and then to top it off, to interact with everything on the screen is A. Like, it would have been nicer if they would have like mapped the buttons a little differently. So that this item is X, this item is Y, this item is A. You're not in a position to use your cat sense or make any other decisions in these sequences where you're exploring and looking for clues. So it doesn't make any sense to like not use those face buttons for that. That's more a quality of life bitch than anything. But the movement itself being clunky and coupled with that, everything is A, make sure you're hovering on the right thing or you're going to pick up the same flyer 27 times. Not talking from personal experience or anything. that can make the game just a little more frustrating. It's quality of life. Besides that though, I do want to say you mentioned it in the summary, I believe, but kind of there needs to be a suicide warning on this game because you are flashed with a dude hanging from the ceiling very quickly.
Yeah, and it's the title like, screen.
Yeah, I was like, not ready. don't play that with kids around. don't be confused and think that just because it's adorable animals that there's not rhino butt cheeks and short skirts on leopards and a whole lot of other questionable shit.
Yeah, this is absolutely not a kid's game. Think
of it as like The Wolf Among Us. Yeah, it takes a kiddish kind of idea, but it's very adult. The story is it's tropey, but it's enjoyable. Like you don't feel frustrated with the story, even though it may not it can be a little underwhelming. You're like, nah, it's scratching an itch, it's fine. But one thing that I did have a complaint about other than the clunky movement is that the game has really long load times. And that was even with having it on a solid state drive. There were times where I was like 7% and wouldn't move. And I'm like, please just load. Please just load. That gets even more frustrating when like it's happening more frequently as you're trying to backtrack. If you're a dumbass like me and you forget some of the most mundane shit, or you're strolling along and as you hit to go someplace else, you're like, oh fuck, I saw a collectible and I gotta go back and get it. And then like you sit there and wait for it to load the next scene. And then you have to turn around and go back. And then you have to wait for it to load the last scene again. Then you can get your collectible after you sit and fidget with the settings. And then you can go back and wait for it to load again. And what I'm saying is that's a lot of load time for some rhino ass. It all just keeps... I'm not sure if I'm impressed.
You were fixated on this rhino's ass.
It's funny. Like, I draw dicks for shits and giggles, okay? And so whenever I see other people put that much care and attention into shit that really shouldn't have that much care and attention, I'm totally tickled by it because I feel like I have found my tribe.
You are one with the developers of Black Sad.
And I'm just tickled by it. Not to say, I mean, there's cleavage and shit too, but somebody sat down and did a storyboard and concept art and actual art and then like programmed and animated the whole photograph with the ass cheeks and everything. I'm proud. All in all, quirky game, very noirish, a little tropey, but it's okay. Maybe not the most involved story, but it's fine. There's quite a few twists and turns, and then you're just like, oh yeah, well, I saw that one coming. One other thing about that I want to mention, there's a couple times where the story tries to like approach some racism issues.
Yeah.
And on one hand, hey, I can respect it. You're trying to send a message and that's fine. On the other, it kind of feels like it falls flat. It's just not pushed enough to justify being there. Like, either push the boundary with it or don't. Just mentioning it feels kind of weird.
Yeah.
But beyond that,
I had a small issue as well. I'm not sure if you ran into this or not, but during some of the cutscenes, I would have some micro stutters.
I didn't during cutscenes. I did with the whole back and forth thing, though. Yeah, that was. I wondered if it was like the game or if it was just me constantly going back and forth because I miss shit. I was like, I'm not sure if the game's broken or I broke it. Sometimes those are not one and the same.
Yeah, they're not exclusive to each other. But minor issues aside, $40 on Black Sad. What do you think?
I do think it's really good. I think on one hand, I'd kind of want to be like, that's a bit of a high price. But it's really not necessarily. I mean, for all the voice acting, and which is really well done, and the graphic quality, yeah, it could use some quality of life and fine tuning. But I think for $40, it's fine. It's a buy it, especially nice. If this is your category. Like, if you like this kind of genre and tropiness, then like you don't need me to tell you to buy it. You already did.
Yeah, pretty much. And if you're interested, GameStop for $49.99 has a special edition of the game that comes with 4 art prints, a special sleeve to the game, and some 3D lenticular artwork. So if you're looking for a little extra on top of that, check out GameStop.
Are any of those rhino butts?
I have no clue. I saw the lenticular artwork, which is basically the box art of the game in 3D. I didn't see the art prints. I should ask if I could check those out sometime.
Yeah, because I hope at least one should be rhino butts.
Should, but, you know. Think of the chillins. Anyway, next game to talk about is Vampire the Masquerade Cutteries of New York, developed and published by Draw Distance, released December 11th on Steam for $19.99. Cutteries of New York presents the struggle for the power between two vampiric factions, Camarilla and the Anarchs, among the iconic buildings and nightlights of the Big Apple. It's a single-player narrative experience set in rich, fully licensed, globally recognized universe of Vampire the Masquerade 5th Edition. Serlina covered this one, wrote in a review, and this is what she's got to say. Hey there, SML friends, this is Serlina, and this week I'm reviewing Vampire the Masquerade Cutteries of New York. The game was developed by Draw Distance and set in the legendary World of Darkness, the home of the game known as Vampire the Masquerade. As it says in the title, and as I covered in the description. The game is near and dear to my heart as I've played the tabletop version and the two previous video games. My expectations are pretty high off the series, and I'm pretty unforgiving, especially with an IP that's loved by millions. First off, this game is a vast departure from the first two. It's not a continuation of Bloodline, so if that's what you're looking for, you'll be sorely disappointed. This is a point-and-click visual novel game. Lots of reading, lots of lore, lots of learning about the characters that inhabit the world, etc. If you're looking for an action-adventure type of game, wait for Bloodlines 2. Now that we've gotten that disclaimer out of the way, let's continue. The game is absolutely gorgeous. Each and every character model looks painstakingly hand-painted. The art director loves this world, and you could see it in every environment, down to the trash on the ground. The game is set in New York, and you never lose that perspective. There's a scene that takes place right next to the Manhattan Bridge, and it looks exactly like the view that you would see if you were there in person. Another superb attention to detail that I enjoyed is all the kindred that you and me have enchanting and distinctly colored eyes. Gives them an otherworldly appearance that I found to be beautiful yet unnerving. There's a character that you meet very early in the game that has no problem killing you, but I would gladly die at his hands because he was gorgeous.
Oh my god.
Not gonna lie, he definitely had me thirsty. Oh, Jesus. Are we sure?
Serlina's turned into Aki on us.
I was just gonna say, are we sure Aki didn't write this one? But it's a he, so it wasn't Aki. It would have had to be a she. Anyway, Cotteries in New York follow the World of Darkness formula to a T. Each of the clans inside and outside the Camarilla, which is the overall vampire governing body, are featured within the game. However, when you create a character, you can only create a fledgling, i.e. a baby vampire that is either a Bruja, Ventru, or Torador. Hopefully I said those right. I'm sure I didn't, but she's going to kick my ass when she listens to this. Being the glamorous person that I am, I chose Torador, of course. I was disheartened that I couldn't play as a Malkavian, or that there was no character creation other than picking your clan and your name, but the other clans are well represented, even if you can't play them. Each different character has a different origin arc, so it's worth it to play all three. Being a point and click, your actions do have consequences, so do try to play ball because it's in your best interest. If you mouth off to the wrong person at the wrong time, it's final death for you. In my first playthrough, I was obsessed with not getting killed before I reached the end, and there are distinct times within the game where you can sense that if you make the wrong choice, you will die. It's still important to challenge who you speak to at times, because you never know who is lying to you, but use caution and direct and decent sense when pushing. One thing I loved about the game is that you get to form your own coterie or crew, for lack of a better word. They give you quests to do, and you get to learn about them and their relationship to the world. It's worth it to do these quests. They fill out the world quite well. However, one thing that really annoyed me is that the game doesn't tell you what the main quest is, in quotes. And I found myself completing the main quest before I completed all the other side quests. Once you get to the grand finale, everything else is locked out. I'm not sure if it's time-based or quest-based, but the fact that it happened so suddenly was incredibly annoying, and there really should be a warning attached or some inclination of what the main quest is. That's such a pet peeve of mine in games, when you come to a point of no return and the game doesn't warn you.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
And
I always just assume everything lets you go back until it doesn't, which is a bad thing to do.
Yeah. Doc Havoc is saying it's Torador.
Nailed it.
So I was wrong. Surprising, huh?
I'm totally surprised. I never could have imagined.
Shocked that I would pronounce something wrong on this show. Anyway, Vampire the Masquerade Cotteries of New York is available on Steam for $17.99, on sale until January 3rd. Normal price is $19.99. And should you purchase it? Yes, you should buy this one. It's incredibly beautiful and has a compelling story told in a timely manner of about 10 hours per playthrough. I know my gamers are expecting Bloodlines 2, but this is not it, so go in with an open mind and have a ball clicking around in New York City. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's two New York games back-to-back.
Wow.
Go figure. That's the kind of crazy trivia that we're looking at on this episode of SML.
It was New York week. No, I always try to find, like, a common ground in all the games that we play each week. And you'd be surprised, like, how easy it is to find a running theme every week.
Yeah. Which we never see, really.
No. I've never been like, I've played nothing but roguelites for 4 months. That's all that's come out. I don't know.
Yeah, close to it. But next game to talk about is called Pathologic 2, developed by Icepick Lodge, published by Tiny Build, released December 12th on Xbox One and Windows 10 for $34.99. And get this, Game Pass, bitches! Pathologic 2 is a groundbreaking open-world horror RPG. Resist the plague, make medicine, heal people, perform an autopsy, trade to get what you need, fight and kill if necessary, survive, struggle with an outbreak in a secluded rural town that is rapidly turning into hell. Cole, tell us about Pathologic 2.
I have yet to successfully heal anybody, is all I'm saying. Pathologic 2 is, on the surface, everything I love about horror.
You know what I love about horror? My computer coming to a crawl while Awesome Prime drops more biddies.
Drop it.
Thank you, Prime. Anyway, as you were saying.
Okay. But it's everything I love about horror on the surface. It's got survival elements where you need to manage your food and water intake and even need to keep an eye out for your immunity and your exposure to disease. It's got a twisted psychological narrative that is kind of unusual in that you start the game in the middle and you have to fill out the rest from there. And then it's just gory and there's corpses everywhere, and really that should just make me happy as it is. You play as a surgeon who has received a letter from his ailing father, and so you go to visit, but the town is literally just fallen into despair from this plague. There's fires everywhere, people trying to, rid the city of this plague and doing some of the worst things imaginable in the process to do so. You're chugging along. It's dark. It's foggy. It's gross. There's corpses everywhere. There's fire. You're watching people just be brutally murdered and you don't know why. You try to tell them, let them go. And they're like, no, it's fine. We're just going to kill them. No big deal. And you're like, well, I tried. And then
NBD, LOL.
And then you speak to random ghost people who I'm pretty sure was alive when I started talking to them, but then was magically not alive. And I'm like, well, I don't know what I did, but this bitch is a goner now. It's free reign on organs over here, because you can, in fact, any corpse that you see, you can perform an autopsy on. And because you're a surgeon, you can remove their organs and then sell their organs to certain vendors for money or in exchange for food or water. That's macabre, and that's basically like the foundation for the game. Everything is weird and gross. I do want to point out, though, that the reason I say this should be my perfect game on the surface is that it's all the things that I love, but it's one of those games that prides itself on being extremely difficult. If there's anything I hate, it's that.
Yeah.
Because it cuts you out from being able to enjoy the game a lot of times. Right away when you start Pathologic 2, you have a choice between three difficulties. The game will already have the hardest difficulty highlighted, and it repeatedly tells you, this is the intended way to play the game. This is what you should do. You should play it like this. If you play it on hard, it will say, well, it's not as we intended, but I guess that's fine. you still have to do the trials, but it's not like it should be. And then if you play it on the easiest, it will immediately say, this is not a story mode. This is still medium difficulty, and you will still have to do all the trials. So basically, even if you choose the easiest difficulty, the game is laying its dick on the table in front of you and saying, get fucked. You will not survive. Point blank. It's just the way it is.
You have such a way with words sometimes.
I'm on a roll tonight, too. I've had a lot of chocolate. I don't know if it's unfortunate or if it's amusing. It's kind of a, it's a toss up depending on how you feel about me. But in Pathologic 2, you have to survive for 12 days as you carry on and explore and unfurl the story and all that. You're meant to survive these 12 days and go through the trials to do that. If you die when you are revived, then you can be given a debuff. So if it was too hard and you got fucked, it's going to fuck you just a little harder before you start again.
No, no.
I hate that. I hate it so bad. Just for the love of God, I've already died and I've already, that's my concession to a game that I am garbage. Please help me. That does
don't
not
make it harder.
Tie my legs together. That does not mean blindfold me and chop off a hand. It means geez. I died. Help me.
I'm bad at this game. Take pity on my soul.
I have very strong feelings about this. I wanted to beat this game and be like, fuck you and your intended playthrough. But I couldn't. It's hard. And the developers are going to hear that and be like, well, fuck yeah, it is. We did it, boys. And I'm like, no, you guys don't get it. A little accessibility can go a long way.
Yeah.
And it would be, instead of shitting on a story mode, appreciate what it does for players like me. And just let us get through it and let us see the whole thing. I understand that it's supposed to be a mindfuck. But the game is by far fucked up enough just from how you play. I mean, you're autopsying people on the streets and then selling their organs for food money.
That's a normal Thursday for us.
You're not supposed to tell my secrets, Joe, but there's a reason. There's a reason that my voice still sounds like I'm 12 when I'm almost 37. That's my secret.
Selling organs on the black market.
For food.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Kentucky's a food desert. I gotta eat.
Oh, my Lord. Doc says, because you're adorably dainty.
I do lift my pinky when I drink tea. It's done for. But... sacrificing pig. No, I love pigs. Well, I don't love pigs. Pigs can fuck off. But I love goats. I wouldn't sacrifice a goat. That's a pet. It might be all the sugar that makes me sound so squeaky.
All the pixie sticks?
No, I do not like pigs. That's
a little... Do you still have some from Halloween?
I've got like 7. And then my sister turns around and sent a bag of 168 lollipops. What the fuck am I supposed to do with this? Why?
Oh, my Lord.
My man, number one did a gift exchange with her buddies, and they pulled everybody's names out of a hat. And the little girl that she got, I say that like they ain't teenagers. But the little girl she got was like, oh, I just want junk food. Really, I just want snacks. And I was sitting there going, hallelujah. I don't even have to buy anything for this girl. I've got her set.
Oh, jeez.
Terrible. Anyway, pathologic.
Yeah, pathologic too. No pixie sticks in pathologic too.
There are no pixie sticks. There's tourniquets. That's not a pixie stick.
No, close.
Oh, Lord, I just pulled something off my desk and broke it.
Proud of you. Tiny Build is going to hate this review. We're doing terrible. Awful with reviews fine. This week.
I'm doing fine. Okay. Anyway, long and short of it, please don't shit on story modes. The game is gory and horrible and fantastic if you can survive long enough to play it.
Then for $34.99, what is your verdict?
I'm going to give it a solid try it, but I can't go full on buy it when I know there are a lot of people like me who would be locked out just by the difficulty.
Yeah.
And that makes me sad.
Yeah. I even asked you ahead of time how this game is. I wanted to play it off of Game Pass, but I'm concerned about the difficulty and the survival elements.
Yeah, you should be. It's so delightfully weird too, because you really spend the majority of the time that you're with the game until it just starts to fall in place later on. You have to survive that long though, and you won't. you don't even get to live long enough to figure out why all the weird shit is happening. Like, there were so many cool little elements, I'm trying not to give spoilers, that I could just in the first few minutes walking around, and I'm like, oh, that's amazing. Why is it doing that? At one point, my train stopped. I was riding a train, and the train got stopped because there was this giant monster bull, nuts and all, standing in the middle of the train. And when I say like a monster bull, like this was a 7-story tall bull. It was stupid. Jeez. And it was incredible. And then like there were all these crow people standing around, and they were like, I don't even remember because it was some fucked up random shit. It didn't make any sense in the context of anything, like 80% of this game. And I was just like, this is awesome. And then I immediately died. Like, my immunity shot all the way up red, and I didn't even have time to react. I had medicine on me, and I couldn't even do anything with it.
Jeez.
And I was dead before I even knew I had interacted with anything that was going to make me sick.
Yeah, that sounds tough.
And then I was just sitting there like, but I wanted to look at that bull some more. It was so cool.
I want the bull nuts in my face.
They were so well rendered.
As good as the rhino ass in Black Sad.
10 out of 10 bull nuts. Well, maybe not as good as the rhino ass, because it had more detail and lighting to it, even though it was in black and white. And the bull nuts were more like silhouetted, but they were on par with eight seconds to glory nuts. Yeah, I give them that. They were huge.
I never played 8 Seconds to Glory, so I don't know.
I'm not a furry. I didn't think anybody with a voice like this could get away with being a furry.
Oh, my God. Anyway, speaking of animals, next game to talk about is called Fishing Barents Sea, developed by Miss Games, published by Astragon Entertainment, released December 13th on Xbox One for $29.99. Take the helm of your very own fishing boat in Fishing Barents Sea Complete Edition and explore the vastness of the Norwegian Sea in search of the best fishing zones. Start with the little boat inherited from your grandfather, catch fish and earn money for upgrades as well as bigger and better boats, enjoy the beautiful Barents Sea, and make your fishing industry dreams come true. Cole, tell us about this one.
I think I found the theme for the week. You want to know what it was?
Let's hear it.
Games that sounded great on paper that didn't execute as well as they should have.
Uh-oh.
I love fishing games. Fishing games are fantastic. There is nothing better than just like sitting casually. I like even like in a fishing game, cast out my line, put down the controller, sit here and play on the computer. And then when it rumbles, go, oh shit, I got a fish, and get me a fish. And then feel like I did something successful, and then throw it out again and be like, okay, back to doing nothing. La, la, la. And then, oh shit, I got a fish. That's not going to happen in this game. That's not to say that you can't get lost and just kind of casually play it, because you can, and that's good, and that's great. But I will say the controls and everything for it are far more involved than they need to be. It's kind of an instance of they couldn't decide on if they wanted the game to be like a casual fishing simulator or if they wanted to go whole hog sim mode. When you're on the boat, which, by the way, every one of these games is like, your grandfather died, here's his shit, do a thing. Even Stardew Valley does it.
My Time of Portia did that too, didn't it?
Yeah, I think in My Time of Portia it was your dad, but it's usually
your relative died.
Relative has shit the bed and now you must take over. It's a weird mechanic that just keeps popping up. And this was just a weird game for it to be in. As soon as I read it, I was like, what the fuck?
Weird is the theme of this episode. Trust me, we're getting to weird soon.
Oh my gosh. But a fishing sim shouldn't fall into weird territory.
True.
And it did. Again, the controls, they kind of deviate back and forth. Like, some things are super, you know, mundane, and you can do it kind of mindlessly with certain types of fishing, whereas most of the game really wants you to over-focus on details. When you're driving the boat, for example, third person, drive the boat, you know, you're good. But then to do anything on the boat, you actually have to switch from third person to first person. I find switching perspectives like that horribly disorienting in a game.
Yeah.
Like, pick one. That's one of the reasons I don't like, Ghost Recon any better than I do. Because it's third person until you aim. And then you're first person. I'm like, ah, fuck, that's jarring. Stop that. So having to switch that view back and forth in a fishing game is just like, I don't want to have to do that. That's overcomplicating it.
Yeah.
Either let me drive the boat normally or don't. But having to flip back and forth is weird. When you're on the boat, you have to interact with certain things. I find it funny that when you have the starter boat, literally all it has in the captain's area is like some chairs, a table, and a rogue hammer laying on the table. And I never feel like you can't interact with the hammer. You can't customize the hammer. It's just Grampy's hammer hanging out on the table in the middle of your cabin. And I don't know why.
Can't customize the hammer.
Oh, at least let me put a sticker on it. There's so much other weird micromanagement going on. At least let me have a little something here.
Yeah.
I'll spray paint the hammer pink and put some stickers on it and be like, fuck yeah, Grampy would be proud. It ain't no bull nuts. You're right. It wasn't bull nuts. It was just a bland hammer. And it's there on the table.
Astragon's going to listen to this. Like, why are they talking about bull nuts? What the hell is... Everyone that we review at a game on this episode is going to listen to this show and wonder what the hell's wrong with us.
My bad.
The answer is a lot, by the way. There's a lot wrong with us.
Don't sound like me and be normal. Hammer aside.
Yes, hammer aside.
Once you're actually out controlling the boat and trying to get your fishing on, again, the controls just are overly complicated for no good reason. Even in just like one of the tutorial missions, it was like, drive to this area and get the line. And I'm sitting there going, okay, but how? And it's like, pick up this line, jackass. And I'm like, but I can't. You didn't tell me how. And I'm pushing every combination of buttons possible. And then it just magically did it. And I still don't know how I did it. And I'm like, please don't make me fish like that ever again, game. Just give me a pole. And sit me in a chair and be like, catch fish, dumbass.
Let me do this old school.
Yeah, I'm down for that. Once you start like throwing out, I don't know what's proper term for that type of fishing is. I know that here we do a similar type of fishing in lakes and we call it jugging. Where like you throw out baited nets and buoys hold it up, although here we use milk jugs because we're poor. So it's all well and good, but they overcomplicated it to the point that you just get frustrated trying to figure it out. And there was never a point where I was like, I've got this, I can do this comfortably. Everything was off the rails unless I was just allowed to fish. I was curious if it was just me. So I set David down with it. David has far more tolerance for learning the controls in these kind of simulator games than I do. Like I said, I just want to cast out a pole and be done with it.
Yeah.
D will actually sit and figure shit out. And he was in the same point of the tutorial and he was like, why is this so hard? I don't fucking know. But I'm glad I wasn't the only one that felt that way. It was just kind of set because I wanted something that was going to be a different experience. Like fishing, lake fishing is all well and good. I can go do that here at home though. I was looking forward to getting to go out and catch bigger fish that were different varieties than what I normally see. Because that's what games are. You get to do the shit you can't do in real life. And I enjoyed it when I got to do those elements of the game.
Yeah.
Where, like, you just go fishing, it's fine. But when you had to actually focus on doing different types of fishing and stuff, and it was trying to force you to learn new mechanics, then it was just too frustrating. And story modes, people, just let me casually do my shit. That's what I'm asking for today. and I think Dee would agree that was the biggest downfall for it. It's incredibly pretty. I will give it that. I did have some lagginess. I did have some micro stutters. I don't know if that's a 1S thing. At this point, I always have to put that qualifier, like, I am on a 1S. That might be the problem. But I did have some moments with micro freezing and things, and there were pretty lengthy load times. But I think that's because once you're actually out and on the water, the loading is hidden. It's not something that you actually see or have load screens for.
That's good.
So it wasn't as bad. Incredibly pretty game. I was really impressed with it. I like that if you can tolerate learning the controls for all the other annoying means of fishing, then you can save up enough money and stuff and actually buy better boats. And I think I might have liked it better if I had gotten some of the more higher end boats than what I managed to get. Because I was just still like with new boats even after I'd upgraded some. And I'm like, this is not fun.
Oh boy.
But it's super cool when you get to like fish for some of the cooler stuff like king crab and things like that. It's really awesome.
Well, then overall $30 on this one, what do you say?
I'm gonna peg this one too with a try it. It has its perks and I do think they outweigh the cons. But again, it's nichey. And it's gonna appeal more to that hardcore crowd that has the patience to sit and learn and doesn't just want to cast a pole into the water.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Now we got to get Dark Mika in here. So let's add her to the call. Yeah, she's got two to talk about. This is where we get to the weird portion of the show.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, we are getting to the really weird portion of the show. Right, Aki?
Yeah, which part of weird are we doing? The gory or hoary?
Oh, God.
Yes, we're doing both of them.
Mm-mm. Which one's first, though?
You ready?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right, because next game to talk about is called Bloody Trains, developed and published by Marginal Act, released December 17th on Steam for $19.99. Bloody Trains is a train attendant simulator who cares about passengers and fights far-right terrorists by blowing its heads. Aki, tell us about Bloody Trains.
It's a pixelated action simulation game. I'm glad it said what her job was, because I was like, a train hostess, I guess? I did not know what the fuck you called her job. But, yeah, you play as this lady who's just trying to go about her day on the train, you know, getting people food and drinks. I think they're drinks anyways. Checking tickets, disarming bombs, using pesticides on the active train. You know, just the usual shit that they do right in front of everybody. And that's about where there's no real story to this. It's just here's a day. Get to the end. And here's a new mechanic to do on the next day. Have fun! So there's no story whatsoever. It's also one of those... kind of reminds me of Papers, Please, how you have to keep track of more and more stuff, and you have to move faster and faster when dealing with things. It reminds me of those types of games. And that's not really my type of game, especially because it didn't explain anything. There's no text in the game. There's no voice acting in the game. You're given an item. You have to figure out how to pick the fucking thing up even, which took me a little while. And then you have to figure out how to use it. I sat there for like 20 minutes trying to figure out how to disable bombs. because I kept setting them off instead because I was like, it doesn't tell me what I'm doing. Took forever. And that's kind of what the gist of the game is. It's, here's this new mechanic we won't tell you anything about. In between levels, it shows up as something the item you can pick up at the train station between the levels, and it allows you to use it, but you have to figure out how to use it and what to actually do with it. Turns out in one part, fucking, when you can check tickets and shit, there is a way, if they don't have a ticket, you can send them to jail. I found out like 7-8 levels later, there was also an option to take a bribe from them and let them stay on the train anyways. That option was there from the get-go. I read that in their forums. Someone mentioned that. I was like, oh, how the fuck do you do that? I can have more money. It's like, and they didn't tell you how to do it even in the forums. That's the problem with this game. Nothing is explained whatsoever. They have very basic pictures that can help guide you to what you're supposed to do, but nothing to actually explain it. And that, for me, ruined the game because I couldn't figure out really what the objective was. Because, like, at first I thought maybe you have to keep everyone happy by the end of the train ride, or maybe you have to make this much money. But it's like, nope, none of that matters. All the people on the train can fucking die even. Doesn't matter, you'll go to the next level. So I was like, I don't know what the objective is, and I don't know how to use like a quarter of the equipment. It's like, and then it started just getting to the point where there was just so much stuff to do that I just couldn't keep up with it. And I hope I was near the end of the game, but I don't think I was, because there are boss fights in it, apparently multiple ones. I beat one and that was it. I think I got like 2 or 3 levels after that, and I was just like, there's so much going on, I can't do anything anymore.
Yeah, just looking at screenshots and images of this game, it looks batshit crazy.
Oh, it definitely is. Visually, it's very unique. I really like how everything looks. It's so fucking weird. And when it comes to the boss battles, it gets even fucking weirder. Like, the boss I fought was just this giant person's head, and it shot lasers, and you actually had to pause the game when it shot lasers, which took me like another half hour to figure out, because it'll you can pause the game, it'll still fire its lasers, and in the firing of the lasers, but even if you're in the way of the lasers, if you've paused the game, you won't take any damage. It is impossible to avoid the lasers. So you actually have to do that if you want to win the fight.
That's an interesting mechanic.
Yeah, it didn't tell me that. It took me 7-8 tries, and I just paused the game because I was pissed. I was like, there's no way to fucking dodge this shit. It was like, I went to the forums to see if there was anyone who had any fucking hints or anything, and I heard the laser sound going. I'm like, God, that noise is going to get annoying. And then I heard it quit, and I'm like, what the fuck? Went back to the game, unpaused it, and I was like, oh, no lasers. I moved around. When I saw the laser start, I paused again, and I just sat there and watched. I'm like, I wonder, and yep, fired the laser. It's like, you motherfuckers.
I want to take a second to read the description on the Steam page. It says, this is a simulator game, so there are many mechanics, such as feeding people, giving a tea or towel to them, or they will die. Checking tickets validation, taking bribes or calling police if ticket is not valid, keeping train car warm or people will freeze to death, keeping train car clean or people will vomit and die, checking baggage for bomb or it will explode and people will die, keeping aggressive people out of the passengers if someone will die.
I didn't figure out how to do that part.
Fighting with corruption or people will be out of money and they will die. Fighting bosses or you will die. Not to die.
And you know, all of that is right. I've ended a number of days with no passengers alive, so that is very true. It's like, Fuck. So, you know, it's a good time waster. Like, all the levels, they're not too long. They're like 10, I think 10 minutes-ish was like the longest any of the levels were for me. It's a good time waster. If you like those kind of complicated, I'm not holding your hand or explaining fucking anything to you, go fuck yourself type games. If you like that, this is for you. But well, I can't suggest it because I hated this game, honestly. It just was not fun. If they explained how to do things, I could have gotten a lot more into this until it eventually got to the point where I just couldn't keep up with everything. But just knowing what the hell I was doing would have made this a much more fun game for me.
So if you had a chance to tell the dev to fix something, it would be to just add a little more guidance?
A lot more guidance, because there's no guidance.
So explain some shit.
Yes.
Well, then your overall verdict for $20, even though it is on sale for $14.25 until the 2nd, so if you want to get it cheaper,
It's $14.24. I think it's $18.99.
Oh, yes, it is. I could see on the Steam page. I was told $19.99, so that's what I had in my notes.
Terrible.
I always check these prices while I'm writing reviews.
Curse me. Anyway, your official verdict?
I say this one's a pass for me. With all the problems, it just drove me nuts. It made me angry more than I enjoyed it. So I have to say pass on this one.
All right. Well, you got one other game to talk about. Final game of the night, and we're breaking some new ground on SML.
It's the horror game now.
Oh, Lord.
Final game to talk about tonight is called Nympho Monster Domination, developed by Norn and Miel, published by Cherry Kiss Games, released November 21st on Steam for $9.99. A man filled with pent-up sexual frustration is suddenly summoned to another world as its would-be savior. Dominate the hordes of horny monster girls to add to your mythical harem, and maybe while you're at it, save the world. Aki, tell us about Nympho Monster Domination, a game which you specifically requested for the show.
Yes, I did. It's a pornographic visual novel, a kinetic one, so there's no choices. You just fucking read it, and in some people's opinions, fap to it as well if you want, whatever. You do you. And about what you said about the story, that's pretty much it. They do not really care much about the story in this. This is like, you know those old, like, sausage pizza and plumber pornos from the days of old? That's what this game is to visual novels, from that to, like, AAA movies.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's very much wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Here's a tiny sprinkling of story that we don't really give much of a fuck about. Just go bang the next girl. That's really it. That's the entirety of the story. But you get summoned to this other world, and you check the status of what you are, and you end up, you're a monster tamer. And originally the guy's like, oh, they're going to laugh me out of here, because that's a class that sucks in most video games, and he's a pathetic gamer. And I say pathetic because it's him, not because gamers are pathetic, or else I'd be pathetic, and I'm not. Fuck you people. Anyways, he's like, they're just going to laugh me the fuck out of here. And instead, they're all like, oh, thank God we finally found one of you, because their world is completely taken over by monster girls, basically, and they all have magic powers, but the humans don't, and all the tamers of their world have been killed, so they summoned one from another world, Japan. And they're like, now, go tame all these monsters, and he's like, okay. And then the very first thing he finds is a big-breasted succubus. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's one of those games.
Nice. Yeah, if people are interested in how sexual the game is, feel free to browse the Steam page for it. You will need to be logged in. I didn't know they could have screenshots like this on Steam.
Some of their games, because they Cherry Kiss Cherry, whichever it is, I can't remember anymore.
Cherry Kiss,
I thought so. Okay. They've been on Steam for a while, and this is specifically the type of game they make, is stuff like this. I actually have one of their other games, maybe two. And some of their games don't actually have any pictures, because it was on here before Steam got rid of that no nudity rule of theirs. So some of their games just don't even have pictures on them, because they're like, these are graphic, they would not accept that. It's pretty fantastic. There's about 20 chapters. No, not about. There's exactly 20 chapters in the game. All of them are pretty quick. I think in just the first two chapters that I played, I checked the time at that point. It took me like 100 minutes for two full chapters. And that was after I had gone back and reread chunks of it to get some quotes that I'll be using later on to explain the writing of this. So there's 20 chapters. After you finish a chapter, you unlock a chapter select for that chapter in the main menu. You unlock the pictures that were used in that chapter, which there are a lot. And then you also can just skip all the very small amount of fucking story bits and go straight to the sex scene stuff. Also, so it gives you those three options. It gives you, there's only like 2 to 5 minutes of story in between the sex scenes. I don't think there was a need for that, but whatever.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, most of each chapter is just the characters banging.
Well, that's what you signed up for.
Yeah, you know, hey, and I'm not bad. I'm not against that, because all the pictures, the characters are very cute. I am all for it, and I heard your cat.
Yeah, Pork is up on my lap. He is demanding attention right now. What do you want, buddy? What? By the way, Studa just subbed, so thank you for the sub.
I reminded him.
You like the porn game conversation, I guess.
No, I was texting him on Facebook, and I was like, you haven't fucking subbed, go sub.
So oh my god, Pork, what the fuck are you doing?
Oh my, just oh my.
Anyway, back to the game.
The writing in this is...
Yes, give us those examples.
Okay, first I have to explain a little. It's a very Japanese way of writing. If you've watched hentai or read the dirty comics that come out of Japan, that is kind of how it's written, and that's very different from how like American porn is. They say very weird shit in the animated sphere of dirty shit over there. The shit I'm about to say, I really hope my mom doesn't have this episode as the one she's gonna fucking watch. This is within the first 10 fucking minutes. And here's just a couple quotes from Lilith. Tell your weak little dick to man up so you don't come to death in 2 seconds, weekly monster tamer. That was one. Go ahead and try. See if you can teach this virgin succubus pussy who's boss, weakling. That's number two. And prior to that, she mentions how she has a super rare virgin succubus pussy.
Oh my god.
Yes. And then later on, which is in the second chapter, she talks about, I think it was her, it might have been the dog girl from that one, who's named Cerberus, because of course it is. She's a dog girl. Of course she's named Cerberus. One of those two, said, you can use my mouth pussy. Again, if you're used to hentai or reading dirty comics, that some of the shit doesn't shock you, especially things like mouth pussy, because that is just some weird shit Japan writes. I don't.
SpongeBob. So when's the Xbox release? Cherry Kiss, if you could get your games on Xbox, I would buy all of them.
So would I, actually. Just because. Fuck it. Because, again, the art in this is gorgeous. The writing, weird. But the art is beautiful. All the girls are really cute. And each chapter is about basically banging a new one and turning them into your sex toy, basically.
Yeah, looking at the screenshots, it's fantastic artwork.
Very. It's absolutely beautiful. And all the
detailed.
Girls are very. Yes. Yes, they are. Very. And I'll go into that a little bit in just a little bit. All the girls are also voice acted by... I recognize some of the voices. I'm pretty sure some of the girls in here are professional voice actresses for this kind of stuff specifically. so, you know, they all have good voices. It's only Japanese voices, obviously. What else was there? Shit. Yeah, I guess I should go into some of how detailed it is, because this is going to attach into some other stuff. Namely the fetishes that this game goes for. Obviously there's the monster girl fetish. Obviously, you know, you're banging a succubus and then you're banging a dog girl and then a unicorn girl. And I'm not going to keep naming them all because there's too many. So obviously monster girl is the main one right there. There's an in-story reason that really doesn't fucking matter, but all the girls are also virgins. So there's defloweration. And then there's cream pies.
Nice.
As well. And then there's another one, which I think is gross, but, you know, hey, to each their own. There's also a lot of water sports. And for anyone who doesn't know what that is, that's piss play.
Nice.
Okay, then now we know what Joe's into.
No, I'm not into it. I'm just appreciating the diverse amount of fetishes in the game. I like the mature content description on Steam that says there are scenes of sexual intercourse involving pregnant characters.
I don't think I've gotten that far because I haven't actually completed the game yet. But that wouldn't shock me. It's probably an afterword that shows him having sex with all the girls, because the entire thing is that they somehow use magic to create more of their kind instead of having sex, because no one's strong enough or some bullshit, I don't know. But he's knocking them all up when he cream pies them, because he does it like 10 plus times in a row without stopping.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, that's what his monster tamer ability allowed him to do. Because at first he has tame monster, which doesn't work. Other than that, it's all just powering up his dick and making it amazing.
Oh,
that's
my God.
All the rest. Yeah. As he tames more of the girls, he unlocks other powers, which then he uses to tame other ones. Like the first one, he obtained the power to power up his dick even more than it naturally was, because apparently he just jerked it a lot. I don't know. And then he tamed her, and then after that he was able to use a magic to tie people up, which he uses on the second one. And every time he just gets more powers because he's leveling up by banging these girls.
Doc Havoc. Now I'm just imagining the main character going all Super Saiyan as his dick starts glowing gold.
Totally picture that.
Oh, my Lord. We should probably get to the point of this. Cole, do you have any questions before we get our verdict?
No, I'm good.
Nothing?
I'm good. Then,
Aki, for $10, give us your verdict.
Yeah, go for it. Fuck it. Why not?
Literally. Fuck
yeah,
it.
I mean, shit.
Yeah,
you get about an hour ish per dollar for this game. So the hell with it. I mean,
SpongeBob wants to know if the pubes change color when the dick goes Super Saiyan.
I don't remember ever seeing the dude's pubes, so I'm going to say probably.
Like, you were looking at the dicks anyway.
Not really, no.
Yeah, there we go.
There were boobs in front of me. I was more intent to stare at those.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, well, that is it for this episode. What a crazy trip we have been on this magical journey.
Yep. Told you didn't want to be here, Cole. This wasn't talking about rhino butt cheek.
Yeah, we went from rhino ass to literal ass.
My rhino ass was mundane compared to where this ended.
Yeah, this is the kind of shit I live for. Just this game, just it made me laugh and cringe a lot because of the Japanese writing, but oh my god, I love it. It's just it's terrible in the best way possible.
And a shout out to Hentai Pros Network for following us on Twitter.
Oh my god.
Sadly, they don't have very many videos on their website. Because I did check.
Love it.
Immediately after you stated that they followed you, I was like, oh, I'll check their profile. And then I saw they had a website. I'm like, oh, I'll check their website. Fuck it. they don't have very much. And it's behind a paywall.
Doc Havoc, welcome to the big leagues, Joe. Oh my god, this episode is a train wreck. Apologies to everyone who came on and did their reviews. Apologies to everyone that we reviewed on this episode. Thanks again to George.
My mom, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Apologies to our listeners for having to go through all of this. Next episode is going to be our end of the year spectacular, so you don't want to miss that one. I usually don't pimp out the live shows during these because they are always like how far away from the actual release. But if you're around Monday the 23rd at 9 Eastern time, drop by our Twitch channel. We're going to have a lot of people on the show chatting. Got some codes to drop, so keep an eye out for that. And Aki, since you have your wonderful new microphone, give us some final words to end the show.
Lilith's pussy. That's it.